I'm Margaret Brennan, and this is In Business.
Tony Hayward is out. Bob Dudley is in.
Loads of economic data coming out this week. Breaking news just crossing.
One of the icons on Wall Street. He joins me here.
Watch In Business weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern
on Bloomberg Television.
This podcast is brought to you by Bloomberg Law. For more information about our professional services for the legal industry, please call 212-617-6569.
Hello, everyone. This is the Bloomberg Law Bankruptcy Review. I'm Lee Pacchia. I'm joined now by Bloomberg News editor at large, Bill Rochelle. Bill is also the author of the Daily Bankruptcy column. It's available on BloombergLaw.com and, of course, on the Bloomberg Terminal. On Wednesday, November 10th, Bloomberg Law will host a CLE seminar on the corporate governance and executive compensation aspects of the Dodd-Frank Act, something we've talked about quite a bit in our podcasts over the last 2 months. The program will run from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., and it'll be held at our headquarters at 731 Lexington Avenue, New York, New York. There's no cost to attend, but an RSVP is required and space is limited. For more information, log on to BloombergLaw.com or email us at blawseminars@bloomberg.net. That is blawseminars@bloomberg.net. Thanks. We have four issues to run through today. And we're going to start off with the big news in the bankruptcy world. Ambac Financial has filed a Chapter 11 case in the Southern District of New York. Bill, Ambac was supposed to be filed as a pre-pack case, but it doesn't quite look to be that way. What happened?
Well, I think it's a long way from a pre-pack. It appears as though Ambac does have pretty much of a settlement worked out with the insurance commissioner in Wisconsin. But I'm afraid that may be about as far as it goes. Perhaps some of the bondholders at the holding company are on board. But this could be, and I underscore the word could be, a very interesting case. Here's the reason. We have over $50 billion of insurance contracts that are in default at the insurance company, which has been in a rehabilitation in Wisconsin since about March of this year. What that means in plain terms is that those policyholders are not going to get paid in full. In fact, I think the deal right now is for them to get 25% in cash and the rest in hope certificates. So in other words, those folks, those policyholders are going to take a big hickey. Now, what we have here is the Ambac parent company in Chapter 11, which it's eligible to do, with nearly $1.7 billion in debt, almost all of that owing to unsecured bondholders. Now, when you come right down to the bottom line, the purpose of this Chapter 11 essentially is to distribute some significant value, a lot of it in the form of tax refunds and tax loss carryforwards, to those bondholders. Now then, just sit there for a minute and put yourself in the position of one of the holders of an insurance policy where you're not getting paid.
Right.
Typically, you would think that the bondholders would be at the bottom of the ocean and that you would get paid everything before they get anything. It would appear that the way this is intended to go down will be for the bondholders to keep something. And I got to tell you, Lee, I can't wait to see how this plays out, whether the claimants in the rehabilitation are going to try to insinuate themselves into the bankruptcy case and take everything away from everybody else. I don't know. There's going to be some enormous fights over the issue of call standing, where it may be that the claimants can't appear in the bankruptcy case. And likewise, perhaps the bondholders can't appear in the rehabilitation case. So this could be just as much fun as a barrel of monkeys. And I can't wait to see how it plays itself out over the next weeks and months.
Bill, it's fascinating. It seems like every interesting case in the Southern District of New York somehow ends up in Judge Shelley Chapman's lap. She's become kind of our favorite bankruptcy judge.
Absolutely right. She's had a couple of really interesting new cases. And she follows her own drumbeat.
Yeah, she doesn't necessarily do things, you know, the way everyone else necessarily
would. Can't
wait
to see how it works.
Cool stuff. Moving on, let's take a look at the Toll Road case. It's Connector 2000 Association Corp. It filed for a Chapter 9 in the District of South Carolina. What's happening there?
Well, it looks like this case is headed for a settlement. This is a, let's call it, privately owned toll road. This toll road world is not owned by the government, but rather by a private company. And it, as you said, filed in Chapter 9, which is exclusively for municipalities. The South Carolina Department of Transportation didn't like it one darn bit. And earlier in the case, they filed papers to have the Chapter 9 case dismissed. And I thought, as a result, we were going to have some really interesting litigation, which would tell us finally at an appellate level whether this kind of a private infrastructure company can, in fact, be in Chapter 9 or not.
Right, because Chapter 9 is different. Just to interrupt, you have to ask permission.
Well, in some states you do, in others you don't. But the big difference is Chapter 9 has tons of leverage for the bankrupt entity, much more leverage than in Chapter 11. But sad to say, I think, based on what I've read in the court papers, there is a settlement in the works. This is good in the sense that it'll work out without a fight. But unfortunately, I guess I won't get to see at the end of the day an appellate decision over who is entitled to be in Chapter 9 and who isn't.
All right. Let's take a look at the Point Blank Solutions case. It filed in Delaware. It looks like we have an equity committee pushing a rival plan. How far is it going to get?
Who knows? Could go a long way. This company called Point Blank makes soft body armor. And early in the case, an equity committee was appointed because there is a possibility that the equity may be in the money. The lenders are pushing for a quick sale of the business right now. And as you can guess, the equity don't like it one darn bit. Without providing any details, they filed papers in the bankruptcy court saying that they have what they called a fully funded reorganization plan that they've outlined, and therefore they do not want this sale to take place. This will very much bear watching in the next, I'd say, approximately month, because this case is going to go in one of two directions. Your typical bankruptcy sale, where nobody gets anything except the top dogs, or if the equity committee succeeds, they may save something for themselves.
And finally, let's close things out with a look at the advance sheets. We've had so many interesting decisions coming down from bankruptcy courts over the last month or so. Another one coming down from the Southern District of New York in the Bering Point case. Bill, this is really interesting. We have Indonesia as a creditor here with a tax claim that the judge is not going to pay. Bankruptcy courts are courts of equity. What happened here? There was no way to pay this claim?
Well, I got to tell you, I just love this case. You're right. This is how equity sometimes can end up seeming inequitable. The reason is there is a very old doctrine out of the common law, that is to say, judge-made law, not by statute, saying that the courts in one country will not collect taxes for another country. So you're right. Indonesia filed a claim in the Bering Point case and said, we're owed $4 million by your Indonesian subsidiary. Well, Judge Robert Gerber in the Southern District of New York in Manhattan said, okay, let's assume it's a perfectly valid claim. He said, unfortunately, I can't pay you on account of that rule, which is called the revenue rule. You're seeking the payment of taxes, and a foreign country cannot use the U.S. courts to collect its taxes. And so he therefore denied the claim. And that was despite the fact that the Indonesian folks, in Gerber's own words, made an eloquent plea for fairness. But Gerber said, my hands are tied. I can't do a thing. I can't give you a nickel.
The revenue rule. Learn something new today. We're going to leave it there for now, folks. If you'd like to learn more about the cases we just discussed or anything else happening in the bankruptcy world, check out Bill's column. It's on BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal. Thanks for listening. And before we sign off, we just wanted to give you a quick reminder on the upcoming Bloomberg Law CLE event that we'll be holding at Bloomberg headquarters on November 10th, 2010, from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. We'll be joined by a really fantastic panel from Paul Weiss, David Huntington, Daniel Kramer, and Stephen Lamb, taking us through some of the corporate governance and executive comp issues found in Dodd-Frank. It's been a subject that we've talked a lot about on our podcast, and this should really flesh out the issues a little bit more fully. Again, the events could be held at Bloomberg headquarters. headquarters, 731 Lexington Avenue, New York, New York. Runtime is from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. There is no cost to attend. Just be sure to RSVP because space is limited. You can reach us at blawseminars@bloomberg.net. That's blawseminars@bloomberg.net. Hope to see you there.
Copyright 2010 Bloomberg Finance LP. All rights reserved. The views expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not of Bloomberg Finance LP. These discussions are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as legal advice, which has to be addressed to particular facts and circumstances involved in any given situation. Bloomberg Finance LP and its affiliated entities do not take responsibility for the content contained herein and do not make any representation or warranty as to its completeness or accuracy.